is Monday, July 7th, and we're getting closer and closer to football season. And Jamie, I've got a fun stat for you.
Okay.
Did you see me tweeting?
No, no, I'm blowing.
I never look at your Twitter.
That's not true. Well, I guess if I mention you in it, you look at it. Which?
Well, then I'm forced to see it.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't want to hear how badly you rate movies.
No. Jamaal Charles.
Yes, he's a running back.
Five yards per carry last year.
Yes.
Lowest of his career.
He's amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep.
He's good. Somebody thinks you have him ranked too high. More on that.
Well, he can't go any higher, so I'm kind of stuck.
Yeah, he's number one for you in your running back rankings.
Yes, he is.
All right, we'll get to that. We're looking at Jamie's rankings. Last week, we had you pick apart Dave's rankings.
We as in?
Me and Dave.
You and Dave.
Today, Jamie
people,
and I.
Do people realize that yet that Dave and I are actually the same person? That we just throw our voices?
Actually.
Because we're never in the same place at the same time?
I do the voices for all three people.
Right.
It's a one-man podcast.
It's interesting how you talk to yourself that quickly.
Yeah, it's editing.
True.
So our email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Please put football podcast in the subject line.
Now, so you and Dave, presumably it was Dave, you and Dave last week were by yourselves, right?
Yeah.
Did you make the big personnel move announcement?
What?
You didn't make it?
No.
You didn't. It may not have happened at the time. Announce it.
No.
We have a big personnel move to announce.
What?
CBSSports.com.
What? Oh. Yeah, you can announce it.
You sure?
Yeah.
You feel okay with it?
It's not up to me. I mean,
well,
as long as they're not going to care.
They being?
Your bosses.
Not your bosses?
Yeah, our bosses.
Our bosses. What's big personnel
Just say it.
Nathan Zagura is no longer with us.
Yeah, Nathan's
not good. Not in the death way.
Yeah, he's with us still.
You could see he's now a full time member of the Cleveland Browns
organization. He's their starting X wide receiver.
He might be, but it's big personnel move at CBSSports.com.
Yeah, good for you, Nathan.
Yes, we're gonna miss Nathan.
He's a big Cleveland guy.
Still, he said in his farewell to us that he'll always be a CBS team member at heart, and he will give us all the inside scoop on where Johnny Manziel is partying and how many times Josh Gordon's getting pulled over.
Yeah, Nathan's the man. Really nice guy. And yes, we'll talk about Josh Gordon and RG3 and then the rankings. Email of the day number one comes from Dave. Different Dave. 2 years ago, I don't know.
Dave is a flip-flopper.
2 years ago, I flopped in week one, but then I was gifted with the waiver pickup of Alfred Morris, who turned out to be a solid RB1. Last year, I was in a similar situation and managed to pick up a week one surprise again in the form of tight end Julius Thomas. Wondering, is purposefully laying an egg and playing bench players week one for the top waiver spot to get that annual shocking and dominant sleeper no one drafted off the waiver? Oh, no one drafted off the waiver, an actual strategy?
Well, it is if you hit on Alfred Morris and Julius Thomas. I was thinking, as you were talking, meandering, that think about Eddie Royal and the start he got off to last year.
Yeah.
It's so player dependent that you get the right guy. Because I don't remember off the top of my head week one who was awesome and who wasn't, unfortunately.
There's a name I was thinking of, and that was, I can't remember his darn name.
What position?
No, I'm going to get it. Well, I'm going to look it up. It was the wide receiver for the Cowboys on Thursday night who had that huge game, and we were like, oh, is this the next, right? Or am I thinking of 2 years ago, maybe?
LaRon Robinson? Oh,
no. No, it was after LaRon Robinson.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. It's Tyquan Underwood.
Was it Underwood?
No.
No. You know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We were like, is this the next LaRon
game,
Robinson?
Right.
And he didn't
game.
Do anything the rest
yeah,
of the
three
year.
Three touchdowns. It wasn't Tyquan Underwood?
I don't think Tyquan Underwood played for the Cowboys.
No, who was it? Because I actually started him that week in that 30-team league. It was against the Cowboys.
Right.
Wow, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It could be. Could have been 2012, maybe. But, like you said, it's all about... It was Kevin Ogletree.
Kevin Ogletree.
Yeah,
Underwood,
yeah.
Ogletree. How could I get those confused? Look, first off, Alfred Morris going on waivers, you're probably in a 10-team league that he was available to you. Julius Thomas, some 12-team leagues he was undrafted. I guess a lot of 12-team leagues
he
was undrafted.
Yeah.
So it's really all dependent on the right player, and clearly starting running back for a team that was, you know, nobody hyped him up more than Dave did, but, you know, we were certainly very bullish on Alfred Morris in training camp that year.
Let's not make it too specific about Alf and Thomas, because I
Well, no, but that's the point, though, is if you don't get the right guy and you burn that waiver spot, if in fact it does reset, then you're going to be kicking yourself that you picked up Kevin Ogletree or Eddie Royal or one of those guys that, you know, don't have the right situation. Because Ogletree's a great example. That's a, it's a good name that you brought up, because
it eventually was brought up.
Great offense. There was a guy he was replacing who was the third receiver who was very good the previous year. So there's always going to be someone that emerges, if not week one. I mean, think about it. You know, we were very bullish. I know probably me more than most, and it worked out for me. Keenan Allen, you know, where I remember saying on in this room, Keenan Allen's going to be a difference maker for fantasy owners. That was 4 weeks into the season. But, you know, sometimes the guy emerges in the right situation, and it ends up, you know, being a great benefit for you. But it's too risky to say. You don't want to lose week one. You know,
never.
It's not fantasy baseball or fantasy basketball where you can recover from a loss. Fantasy football, you get 3-4 losses, 5 losses, it ends up catching up to you.
Yeah, and I always say that if I'm going to lose a week, let it be week one, because there are good waiver wire options, but I'm never going to tank. And this is just a perfect example of why fab leagues are my favorite free agent acquisition budget. I recommend it if you haven't tried it. Everybody gets to bid.
But that's a good point, though, about this as well, is that how much bid money do you spend? Forget about the waiver situation. You know, we extend it to all these waiver formats. How much bid money do you spend on that big name guy? Now, again, the two names that Dave brought up, Alfred Morris and Julius Thomas, was probably worth it. But the Ogletrees and the Royals, you know, it's just a matter of being smart with it. And how much do you spend on those guys?
All right, injuries, news, and notes. Josh Gordon was arrested for DWI. Seems very unlikely he'll play this year. Agreed?
At this point, yeah. I can't imagine that they're going to be forgiving.
And let's just hope he can get his career turned around and his life turned around. Mm-hmm. So anything to say here about the Browns?
Well, I know we'll get a question, I think, just based on what we're talking about today in terms of my rankings. And eventually over the next few weeks, we'll talk about my next version of my bust, which I've already done one version. The next version will also have Jordan Cameron and Ben Tate, because where they're being drafted or where they're expected to be drafted, I don't want any part of them. A lot of it has to do with not having Josh Gordon on the field, because I think he opens things up for everybody, and that's not going to be the case.
It's very interesting. This is the difference between you and Dave with Josh Gordon. Dave takes he's the guy now. He's going
to. You mean Jordan Cameron?
What did I say, Cameron Jordan?
You said Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon, sorry. Jordan Cameron, that guy. He's the guy now. He's going to get the targets. He's going to get more production. You're saying Josh Gordon's gone. It's not going to benefit Jordan Cameron.
I think Jordan Cameron's good, but like I think based on what I see on other people's rankings, Dave included, he's closer to being a top five tight end than where I have him, which is top just at 10.
Right.
In PPR, I have him at 9 because I think he's going to catch a lot of passes. But what I saw from him, and we can get into this now if you like.
Yeah, that's our first email. It's from Jordan in Vancouver. It says, hey, Tyrion, Jamie, and Cersei. Oh, she's such a jerk, Cersei. You know?
Sure.
And he also says Scott Linehan is Linehan. Mm-hmm. And he says, why does Jamie have Jordan Cameron ranked so low?
I look at it this way. I saw very heavy touchdown production early in the season a year ago. The quarterback situation was a mess. I don't know how much better it's going to be. I think, you know, if you get 16 games from Brian Hoyer, it'll be good. Whether it's 16 games from Johnny Manziel, that may be good as well. I wish I had all the names in front of me of the tight ends who led their teams in receptions last year. I believe it was Jimmy Graham was on the list. Greg Olsen was on the list. But it was also Jared Cook was on the list. And I believe Scott Chandler was on the list. So that gives you a pretty good range of, even if the tight end is the best pass catcher, their fantasy value. Mm-hmm. And I think Jordan Cameron is going to be one of those tight ends. The guys that you don't like, the Greg Olsons of the world, we'll see if who sort of toes the line between just being a guy that you can be okay with starting on a week-to-week basis or feel great about starting on a week-to-week basis. And I think Jordan Cameron is an okay start on a week-to-week basis. I would rather gamble on, in a standard league, Kyle Rudolph with the guy who helped make Jordan Cameron a year ago in North Turner than Jordan Cameron, because I think the coaching the quarterback situation, the player. He's also been very injury prone, Jordan Cameron. Keep that in the back of your minds. So if somebody wants Jordan Cameron, go ahead and take him. I'm not saying he's a bad player by any stretch, and I do think that he could lead them in I don't think. He will lead them in receptions. He will probably lead them in touchdowns. But I don't think he makes that leap like I'm expecting. The guy that Dave and I compared all the time, it's Pitta versus Cameron. I think Pitta, who I've seen have a very good year as well, does make that leap to becoming upper echelon. Not elite, but upper echelon.
When did you move Pitta ahead of Witten?
I always had Pitta ahead of
you
Witten.
You did?
Yes. I recently moved Pitta and Witten ahead of Vernon Davis.
Oh, okay. I'm nervous about. So you had Pitta ahead of Vernon Davis.
I had Davis fourth. I moved Davis now down to sixth.
Interesting. Okay. Would you rather have Jordan Cameron in like round 9 or wait 2 rounds for Eric Ebron?
I'd rather have Cameron, so I have him ranked higher.
But it's a round thing. It's a draft value thing.
Yeah, I'd rather have Cameron.
Okay.
Once we get past Cameron, I've said this before, to me there are 10 good tight ends. After that, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
And Cameron being the 10th.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I'll say 11. I like Zach Ertz. But 10
and
to me.
Ebron, you have 12.
Right. And I go back and forth. Like, we've just, which I don't know how much you guys talked about this last week. For the first time ever, we have positional PPR rankings. So you can actually, in our rankings page, you can scroll through and click around. And we've always had a top 200 PPR, but, you know, we've been clamoring for the ability to do PPR positional rankings, and we finally have it. And so I have Heath Miller ahead of Eric Ebron in my
PPR
positional PPR rankings.
Man, you talk about upside, though. Who's got the upside of Eric Ebron?
I don't know that
any of the like 5 or 6 guys ahead of him have Eric Ebron's upside.
Yeah, but I think with Ebron you'll have a lot of bad weeks and like an occasional great week.
That's pretty much what occasional great week. Yeah. I mean, that's what you get with a lot of tight ends.
Yeah,
though.
But
you just think less consistency.
It's just there are a lot of mouths to feed there and rookie tight ends. I think he's good. There's a reason why he's 12 and 13 in my rankings respectively.
Washington offensive coordinator Sean McVay says RG3 looks like he did in 2012. Remember, RG3 is going to be playing without that knee brace, and in 2012 he was the number 6 quarterback in fantasy. Threw for the same amount of yards in 2012 and 2013, and actually did that in 2 fewer games in 2013, but fewer touchdowns last year, more interceptions, and 7 rushing touchdowns for RG3 in 2012, none. And about 326 rushing yards fewer in 2013 compared to 2012.
Buddy.
Yeah, quick stuff there. So RG3 is in your rankings. What is he? 10th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, RG3 or Cutler?
RG3.
RG3 or Brady?
Brady.
You have Brady 1 spot ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. I hate when I do that to you. Brady, RG3, Cutler, 9, 10, 11.
Well, I know how I have them. I know the nobody's staring at our rankings page as we're doing this.
Well, no, because, I mean, they could be basically even for you. I hate making you choose number 10 over number 11.
Well, they're not even. But I would not be surprised if I can get RG3 later than I can get Brady, typically. And that's why he could be considered the better value pick.
Luck in the 6th round or RG3 in the 9th round in a 6-point per passing touchdown.
Well, you know how I draft, so I would take RG3.
I'm starting to get a little excited about Andrew Luck. Kind of want
I
him.
Love Andrew Luck.
If I can get Matt Ryan, I want Andrew Luck.
I'm struggling right now with Ryan, Luck, and Kaepernick, which are 5, 6, and 7 for me.
In this order, Kaepernick, Ryan, Luck
right.
for you.
I'm very tempted to move Ryan ahead of Kaepernick.
Really? Why?
I just think that there's a safety factor there. Like Kaepernick to me to be top 3, if any of those top 3 guys get hurt like Rodgers did a year ago. He could easily be top 5 if he plays to his level. Ryan, I think we've seen at times where he levels off. But the defense is so bad in Atlanta. Like I can't make the same argument for Matt Ryan that I make for Tony Romo, but it's very similar. Because I think Romo's going to have a monster season.
Yeah.
Because the defense is horrifically bad.
Yeah. Matt Ryan was on his way to having a monster season.
Right.
23, 26, 19, 26, 22 fantasy points, 28 fantasy points in week 7 after a bye, and then Julio Jones got hurt. But you take
And Roddy was hurt.
Yeah. You take the number one wide receiver off most guys' teams, and they struggle. I mean, well, Matthew Stafford struggled mightily without Calvin Johnson. Colin Kaepernick was okay without Michael Crabtree. So you really can't sit there and say, well, if he loses Julio. Unless
Tom Brady without Gronkowski.
Yeah. Unless you're specifically worried about Julio since he's still recovering from the foot injury. Good quarterbacks in that second tier.
That's why you wait.
It's why you wait, but I mean, those guys might go early in the drafts of our listeners.
Well,
those guys might be gone by the fifth
round. It's still later by comparison, however you frame it. Because if Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and Aaron Rodgers go in round one, and you can get those guys in round two or round three, you're still benefiting.
Yeah. Okay, but not to belabor this argument, which we're about to do. Yes, Matt Ryan, right? Fifth best quarterback in 2012.
Right.
He was 71 fantasy points worse than Drew Brees.
In 2012.
And he had a really good year. He threw for 4,700 yards and 32 touchdowns.
But it's not... You like to do this a lot, and it's not a fair argument, because while he was statistically that much better, what were the other players drafted ahead of Matt Ryan by comparison to the players drafted behind Drew Brees, where they went respectively in their average draft position that year?
What do you mean?
Well, you're comparing Ryan to Brees and how the difference was. Well, if I took two running backs and my two running backs were 71 points combined better than the two running backs that you had, so it's balancing out. If not,
I know.
Statistically, it's just, in my favor.
Potentially. But
yeah, but that's the point.
Of course that's the point. I mean, I understand that the longer
but
you wait on
any position.
But
you always like to throw that out, how much
because
Peyton Manning was better than everybody
because,
else.
I feel like you sort of don't acknowledge how much better those elite
quarterbacks. I absolutely acknowledge it. It's just a matter of what your – I say this all the time. It's what your preference is. Do you feel like you have to establish taking those quarterbacks early, or do you want to wait and take somebody a little bit later?
Yeah, I think – yeah. Okay. Go into your draft, like, this is the earliest I will take Drew Brees or Peyton Manning.
I like the way Dave phrases it, in, you know, because he writes the tiers column and he likes to think that way.
Yeah.
So he says, he talks about it mostly with auctions, but think about where the last guy is in the tier that you have that player in.
Yeah.
And then when it gets to the guy or two before that, say, okay, this is where I'm going to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Read his column.
Yes.
Levon Brazil is out for the season for the Colts.
What?
Yeah. And Drew Davis is out 6 weeks for the Falcons.
Wide receiver.
Yeah, I know. So let's get to Jamie's rankings. We already read Jordan in Vancouver's question about Jordan Cameron.
Yes.
And this one we had for Dave last week. I'll let you discuss, from Dan K. Why no love for Ben Tate? Sorry, Ben Tate.
I like Ben Tate. I just don't think I want Ben Tate on my fantasy team as a starter. I'd rather have him as a flex option.
Yep, 27th.
Right. So I think you just look at the way that he performed last year when he was giving a starting opportunity on a team that was very run-dependent when Arian Foster got hurt with the back injury, and he wasn't overly dominant. And so I think the addition of Terrence West, when Ben Tate signed with Cleveland, it was a very good thing. Then they went and they had the draft, and they spent an early-round pick for running backs on a guy who can take away touches from him. It's not necessarily going to start over him. You know, there's some speculation that could happen, but I don't see it. But Ben Tate to me is not somebody that's going to go in there and be Arian Foster. I liked him prior to this year as the Foster backup because they were able to split carries. I was afraid Foster was going to break down last year. It happened because of the workload. And I just don't know if without the threat of any sort of a passing game, that he's going to have all these open lanes to run through. I like Kyle Shanahan as an offensive coordinator. I like what he's been able to do. But to me, Ben Tate says outside the top 24 versus inside the top 24.
And, you know, I know that you were down on Arian Foster. That's why I can't really understand why you're high on Arian Foster again, why you have him as your number 10 running back. When, yeah, you were right. He did break down. He played 8 games last year. Mm-hmm. Why do you all of a sudden think he's back to being, like, early second round worthy?
Once you get to that spot, and this is why running backs are scary. So you have to look at, does he have competition for carries? Well, is Andre Brown or Alfred Blue going to take Arian Foster off the field?
I mean, no.
Just based on
if he stays healthy, no.
Okay, that's the first thing.
Not enough to make an impact. I mean,
has he proven to be a three down guy?
Yeah.
The answer is yes. Does he still have a good system, offensive line, and surrounding elements around him? Well, I would say two out of three, yes. System should be good under Bill O'Brien. He's got a good history of running the ball. Offensive line is still fairly competent. Now, the guys around him, especially if Andre Johnson holds out, pretty bad. I mean, you can argue it's one of the worst situations in the NFL because of the quarterback. When you have Ryan Fitzpatrick or Tom Savage, that's, you know, worst quarterback situation, at least on paper, coming into the league. So there's a lot of things in that regard working against him. But again, those two of the three other elements that I like to look for are still good. The biggest factor is, can he sustain 300 plus, if not close to 400 touches? And that's my concern with Arian Foster.
Of course. That's why I'm saying, like what has changed from last year if we went through this checklist?
But again, it's like, okay, look at the guys after him. But Doug Martin now has a scenario of that. I toe the fence with him because I like Doug Martin. I think Doug Martin's got a lot of potential, but it's a different regime, and there are now three guys that could take him off the field. I don't think they will, but they could.
Yeah, every one of these guys, you know.
For
you, it starts with Foster 10, then Alfred Morris.
Right, that's the guy that
What's the question mark for him?
It's that he's in a system that's very pass-heavy, and he can't catch.
Yeah, Dave and I were talking about that. I don't know that he can't catch. It's just that he hasn't
been
caught.
Asked to catch the ball.
Doug Martin, 12. Marshawn Lynch, 13. What are the question marks you have with him? Just a like
Lynch,
this is yeah
the lyrical
breakdown, right? Zach Stacy, competition.
Yep.
Andre Ellington, I know you're very high on him. Mm-hmm. Bishop
Sankey. But can you justify taking Andre Ellington over Arian Foster?
No, and I think this is exactly why I'm not going running back.
Well, it depends who you're getting.
If my second running back is one of these guys, I'd rather spend it on a receiver that I know is going to produce.
One of these guys being Foster Morris.
Between Foster and Stacy
like
in
Martin.
The second round. Oh, yeah, you know what? I might make an exception with Doug Martin because I do like him. But I want to see how this preseason plays out. I don't see a good reason why Doug Martin wouldn't be an excellent football player again. You know, I know he had a down year last year, got hurt, but he's young. He's third year. Doesn't make any sense. Right? Is that kind of what you're thinking?
I like Doug Martin. I'm one of the few people that I've seen that still have him as a top 12 guy.
Yeah, I don't know. This is like Ryan Matthews, but it's the same concept. It's like he didn't lose his skill. So
he just got hurt.
Yeah, he just got hurt.
And the thing that keeps him at 12 for me is Lovie Smith. He's such a run-first guy. I can't imagine Mike James or Bobby Rainey or for a lesser extent, Charles Sims, taking Doug Martin off the field, no matter what Jeff Tedford keeps saying.
You know, and even if the question is who's going to get touchdowns, one of the questions, who would get touchdowns there?
Still should be Martin.
Right. And you can lose touches if you score touchdowns. And he's a good player. So, all right. Thank you, Dan Kay, for that tweet. Cursed for life. says Jamal Charles is too high. Prior to 2013, he had 24 total touchdowns. Last year, he had 17 total touchdowns. Also, cut back in touches for 2014. Hashtag top five, not number one.
Well, I would like to ask Cursed for Life who he would, assuming it's he, who he would like to see number one.
I like McCoy.
You would take McCoy over Charles?
The reason I would take McCoy over Charles, there are two reasons. He led his team in receptions last year, second in targets, one target fewer than Dwayne Bowe, Jamal Charles. So I got a feeling they'd like to get more of a diverse passing game.
To and, who?
Yeah, I know. They haven't exactly upgraded the position. And two, three starting offensive linemen are gone. So McCoy is so damn good.
You know, the Eagles lost an offensive lineman for four games. I forget who it was, but was suspended for four games.
It was Lane Johnson,
I think. Johnson, yes.
I did see that, and they had a remarkable health at the offensive line last year. I don't know. I don't have a great reason for it. They were pretty close last year.
It's very interesting with the top five running backs and who people like better. Dave is the only person I've seen that likes Matt Forte too, ahead of McCoy. I've done several drafts with users and with other analysts. I try to do a mock draft once a week for anybody that's listening. So when I post it on Twitter, please feel free to jump in. Where Peterson still goes two. And that was even one of the analyst drafts I've done, Peterson went to, that I don't agree with. I haven't seen McCoy go one because I've been doing the mock drafts I've been doing with users. I go one, two, three so far. I've done three over the last 3 weeks. And I've ended up with McCoy 2 weeks in a row.
So who goes one? Charles always?
Yeah. I haven't seen a draft where Charles has not gone number one overall.
Yeah, I would if somebody took Jamal Charles one, I'd have no problem with it. You think there's a big separation between the two?
No, I don't think there's a big separation at all. But I do think that Andy Reid's track record, and I wish I had the exact numbers in front of me. I'm tired of saying numbers incorrectly when I try to spew them off the top of my head.
Well, you could just bring your computer in here.
I could, but it's not as fun. his track record of running backs that he's coached, and you're talking Deuce Staley, Brian Westbrook, Charles, there's another guy that I'm going to leave out. McCoy. Those four guys that he's had. How can I leave him out? It's like just amazing consistency of 1,500 yards, 2,000 total yards. And this is, you know, multiple years of different guys. But 1,500 rushing yards, 2,000 total yards, double digits in touchdowns, 50-plus receptions. I mean, he just gets production from that spot. And he's had – I've referenced this before, and I wish I had this information, which I don't know to be accurate. But – poor offensive lines. I mean, you think about those Donovan McNabb years where you know the game, the Giants-Eagles game, you know where the was it King Dunlap? You know that
That's when OC got like six sacks.
Yeah, I mean, he's had bad offensive lines and still gotten good production from his running backs because they're so diverse and able to do so many different things. So if somebody wanted to take, if you're in your draft and you say, I'm sold on LeSean McCoy, I'm taking McCoy over Charles.
No, I mean, I'd try to trade the number two pick. No, I love Jamal Charles. Like I said, 5 yards per carry was the lowest of his career. He's a tremendous talent. Scored 7 receiving touchdowns last year.
It's going to come down.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He's coming off a career year. I have no doubt about his talent. I have no doubt about Andy Reid. Everything you said totally applies. The Eagles ran the ball a lot more last year. The Eagles ran the ball, I think, fourth most in the league.
That's another thing. Charles sat out a game. Are they going to be in a situation in Week 17 where they're resting?
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Okay, I mean, I'll take the second pick.
Yeah, I'd like to know who Curse for Life would have his or her as his.
I'll tweet him
top
or her
five.
Right now, and we'll see. Oh, this is going to be exciting. All right, next up, fantasy football aid. Mm-hmm. Rashad Jennings, Giants bell cow, 30th overall at running back, seems way too low.
I think if you were to tell me right now that David Wilson doesn't play a down for the Giants, which could easily happen, and Andre Williams is a bust, then I think Rashad Jennings can easily be a top 20 running back.
Right.
But we're talking about a guy that's had really one season of sustained production without getting hurt. It was last year with the Raiders. He's 29 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted somebody else. They're counting on Wilson being ready. So there's 3 mouths to feed. The reports I read out of the Giants, and Adam, you probably know this better than I do. If it was up to Tom Coughlin, it would be all 3 guys doing damage. I mean, we've seen the Giants when they've been at their best. You know, you go back to here. Now, yes, Brandon Jacobs was very good. Ahmad Bradshaw was okay. Derek Ward was okay. But that one year where they were amazing running the ball was their Super Bowl year, the first Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All 3 guys were getting touches.
If one guy can take control of the job, he'll let it happen. It's not like he's going to be stubborn and say, well, you're playing very well. We're still going to mix in other guys.
Well, I mean, you think about, though, there could be defined roles for each of these guys. I mean, Jennings should be able to play on all 3 downs and work at the goal line. But are they going to take Andre Williams? Are they going to sit Andre Williams down when they're in short yardage situations, which they were so bad last year, and he's just this physical beast?
No, not
if you get the opportunity to get David Wilson in space, are you going to keep Rashad Jennings on the field if Wilson's making plays?
And they didn't pay Rashad Jennings that much where they would have to.
Well, nobody paid running backs this offseason, so that's hard to say. But I know what you're getting.
When we looked at the contract, we said that's one of the best deals of the offseason. Very low risk, so they don't have to justify it.
Sure.
Here's the thing about Jennings. So you look at just what I was looking up earlier today. As you mentioned, 29 years old, but his first 2 seasons in the league, he averaged over 5 yards per carry. Limited workload, 5 yards per carry, though. Then he missed the entire 2000...
He's Jamal Charles.
What?
He's Jamal Charles.
Then he missed the entire 2011 season with a knee injury. 2012, 2.8 yards per carry, which might be why we were so dismissive of him when he kind of burst onto the scene last year.
Nando DeFino. Loved him.
Okay. Good point.
Give credit where credit's due.
Now, he kind of slumped in the last four or five games of the season, especially the last four, but
last
he scored
year.
Touchdowns. Yeah, last season. And if he doesn't score touchdowns, then his fantasy production looks pretty weak in those final four games.
I don't see him coming in, and I think a good comparison is Andre Brown, a guy who we weren't expecting to do well, and he did, and it was very touchdown dependent.
Yeah.
That's kind of the comparison just with the Giants.
But we do think he's going to play a role in the screen game, right?
I do think that Rashad Jennings is a good flex. Yeah. It's the same thing with Ben Tate.
But you'd rather have Tate. Why would you rather have Tate?
I think Tate's a better player. I think he's younger. I think there's just better opportunity for him.
Okay.
I think the way that I wrote this in my Giants preview, I don't know if it's on the site yet or not, but we're doing our team-by-team previews, and I think I may have said this when we talked about the NFC East. I would rather wait and take a flyer at this point today. Things will change once we know what happens to training camp. But I'd rather wait and take a flyer on David Wilson, because I think if David Wilson is 100% healthy, he will be the best Giants running back.
Okay.
Agree or disagree, Giants fan?
Completely agree.
Okay.
Completely agree. Jason Smith, why do the boys have Harvin ranked so low? He seems to be the clear number one wide receiver on his team. And Harvin, let me just get the rankings, Jamie. Percy Harvin for you is 24th. 32nd for Dave in standards. Oh, no, that's PPR. No, that's standard scoring. And in PPR, he's 26th and 34th.
I have a hard time with Harvin because I kind of agree with what fantasy football, no, with what Jason Smith is saying. If anybody wants to, you know, I know we believe a little bit in anonymity. So, Jason Smith, I apologize, but you do have one of the most common names in the history of the world.
Oh, you're fine. Nobody's tracking him down.
Because I do think that Harvin, I don't think he seems to be. He is the clear-cut number one receiver on his team. But what did that mean for Golden Tate a year ago?
What did it mean for Sidney Rice two years ago? I have to disagree with your premise here. What? I know what you're going to say, but you have to say it now. He's a lot better than Golden Tate.
Without a doubt. But the number one receiver on a run-first team doesn't necessarily mean he's a great fantasy option. I think Percy Harvin, I don't agree with where Dave has him. I think he's much better than 32nd overall at the receiver position. You could Mike Wallace or Percy Harvin. As much as I think Mike Wallace has a chance to have a good year,
yeah,
I'd rather gamble on Percy Harvin because I've seen him have a great year. Not that Mike Wallace hasn't, but
he was almost an elite wide receiver at his best.
Right, and I think the there's a couple things why I have a hard time with Percy Harvin going from maybe 24 to 20 is if Marshawn Lynch does have the problems that I'm anticipating him having, with whether it's the workload catching up to him or them trying to rest him a little bit in some way, shape, or form, I think Percy Harvin's going to benefit. Because if it's Kristen Michael and Robert Turbin, I think Harvin gets maybe 3 carries a game, whether it's a carry or a bubble screen or something that counts as a carry.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of that is, if Marshawn Lynch isn't there, do they now become more pass-happy? Because they have to throw.
It's hard to predict what they're going to do, I think.
They're one of the most difficult teams to count on. And it's like, you know, we have Russell Wilson outside of our top 12. Both of us do. He's the number 9 quarterback the last 2 years. So he's got to throw to somebody. You know, and you could say, okay, Doug Baldwin's going to have a good year. Sidney Rice is going to be back. They're going to get the running backs more involved out of the backfield. They like some of their secondary receivers, you know, the two kids that they drafted and maybe some of their backup guys like Curse. Percy Harvin, to me, is still going to have to dominate this offense, and I think he's still a very capable number 2 fantasy receiver. I just don't know if I want to draft him much higher than that.
You want to see something interesting on him? I don't know if this means anything, but I'm just looking this up now. 2011, Percy Harvin was the number 8 wide receiver in fantasy, scored 160 fantasy points. That would have made him number 14 in 2012 and number 15 in 2013. So maybe that's a statement just on wide receivers in general. Maybe it's fluky. You give him one more score and give him 166 points. He jumps up to just about the top 10. But 160 points in 2011 was good enough to be the 8th best. 116 points last year was 15th best, 14th best in 2012.
In 2011, he was very involved as a running back.
Yeah.
So is he going to be that involved with the Seahawks? You have to also figure that Seattle can pencil themselves in as a playoff contender, whether they make it or not, but they're considering themselves that, as rightfully they should. And that's a guy, as we saw in the Super Bowl, you want to have healthy in the postseason.
Well, Jamie, I sent the tweet out to Curse for Life. Just waiting to hear back.
Okay.
Truck wants to know why you have Andrew Luck behind Matt Ryan and Colin Kaepernick. I guess we touched on that.
It's really, you know, something that I struggle with. And I think the one thing about it is it goes to value with those guys. Luck is going to be drafted first. No matter who you pull,
you think so?
Luck is 100% going to be
really?
Judged. Because people see NFL, and he's, I don't know where I saw it, it might have been on ESPN or something, where on a radio show, if you were starting a franchise today in football, you know, you talk about this with basketball, it was around the LeBron James discussion. You're starting a football team right now. Who's the one player that you want? And the two names that were brought up, Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. and the second one was Andrew Luck. It was on a radio program.
It's so funny that Matt Ryan doesn't get that respect that I think he's earned.
Yeah, I agree. But I think people look at Andrew Luck and you see, okay, two completely different systems his first 2 years. He was very good in both of them, fantasy-wise. Now he gets Hakeem Nicks, gets Reggie Wayne back healthy, gets Dwayne Allen back healthy. They see Trent Richardson and the disaster he was a year ago. They see beefed-up offensive line. He's in arguably the worst division in the NFL. That division's horrible.
Uh-huh.
They're the best team by far in that division.
Yes.
So he should have a monstrous season. I don't disagree with any of that, but I think a lot of people will look at it and overdraft Andrew Luck. So once you get past the top three, Stafford should be four, but some people take Luck four.
Sorry, I'm doing some quick math. 1, 2, 9, 10, 11. He had the 11th most pass attempts in football last year, 570. It's nowhere near.
The year before, he was off the charts, though, because of Arians.
Yeah, and they changed their coordinator and brought in Pep Hamilton. You know, I just said earlier in the show how much I like Andrew Luck, and it makes sense. Obviously, I didn't realize he was going fourth overall.
I'm not saying consistently, but you're going to see when the average draft position for our site, when people drafting on our site, is relevant, which is going to be sometime around the start of training camp.
Yeah.
Start of the preseason. He's going to be somewhere between 4 and 6.
Yeah, see, I just, with him not throwing the ball that much last year and no reason for me to think that's going to change mm-hmm. too much, do you think there's a reason? Maybe he's just getting better, and it really depends
on Trent Richardson.
Yeah.
Because the coach and the offensive coordinator in Pagano and Hamilton, they want to run the ball.
Matthew Stafford seems like a no-brainer at 4 at quarterback.
I'm going to put you on the spot. You could look at ours as a reference. Give me your top 12 quarterbacks.
All right.
In order.
I'm not going to look. Manning, Breeze, Rodgers, Stafford, Matt Ryan. That's a pretty easy top 5 for me.
Fair.
Then
like I said, that's where I struggle is at 5.
I'll go Andrew Luck, 6.
Okay.
Kaepernick, 7.
Okay.
So much of this is going to depend on Gronkowski, but I'll go RG3, 8. Brady, 9. Romo, 10. How's that?
That's good, but you got 2 more.
Oh, top 12.
Yes, that's what I said.
Ah, man. I guess I'll rank Russell Wilson there because I feel like he's going to finish.
So you discount Nick Foles as well?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, I do.
I'm surprised we haven't gotten that question because that's usually the one I get hammered about.
I feel like he's going to be fine, but it's going to be very interchangeable from like 7 to 14, you know? It's going to be very bunched up. All right, so I'll go Russell Wilson, 11.
That's interesting.
Well, last year, why won't he be better than he was last year when he was top 10? And
no Cam for you either.
No, that's the one. It's either going to be like Cam, Roethlisberger.
Cutler either.
Cutler. Sorry. You know what? Cutler 11, Wilson 12.
All right. So we have the same guys 1 through 11. Different order, but same guys 1 through 11.
Thank you for letting me be a part of this. It's fun.
Well, we lost Nathan, so you should be able to fill the spot.
And the Browns are going to be great this year, folks. I forgot about Cutler. Yeah, I like Foles. I just...
You would take Russell Wilson over Foles. Dave would.
No, I.
Dave
you know
would
what?
Keel over.
This is the thing. This is what's frustrating about rankings.
If Dave is on another cruise, he would fall off the boat.
I actually think that Russell Wilson is going to finish ahead of Nick Foles, but I would not draft him ahead of Nick Foles. So I guess I would rank Foles ahead of Wilson. How do you do your rankings based on how you see them finishing or how you would draft them, which takes into account upside?
Which takes into account upside?
Yeah, because like I see that. I see that, in my opinion, Nick Foles has more upside than Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson's solid, but doesn't have as much more upside but more downside, Nick Foles, compared to Russell Wilson.
Right.
So I think I would draft him ahead of Wilson, mm-hmm. and then I would probably take another quarterback shortly thereafter.
Right.
But in my mind, I believe that Russell Wilson will have a better year. I just don't think he's going to be worth drafting as your number one quarterback.
Right, you don't have to draft him as your number one quarterback.
Yeah, so how do you do your rankings?
Well, I do it based on where I think that they will finish. I can't necessarily do it on where I think they'll be drafted.
Not where you think they will be drafted, where you would draft them.
I definitely take that into account because I don't think Jordan – I would never get Jordan Cameron. Or Nick
because
Foles.
He's going to go earlier than where you rank him. Yeah.
So I draft where I think that they'll be fit, which is why I think you hear me say from time to time, and I probably should say this more, if they both play 16 games, player A versus player B, you know, I think player A will be better, which is why I haven't ranked where I do. But I would rather wait and take player B, you know, if that's the conversation.
And Cam Newton. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
No, like Noshon versus Lamar Miller. I'd wait to take David Wilson.
Yeah. Right, and Cam Newton, like, I've been wanting to argue that he should be in your top 12, but when you look at the names, it's hard to put him ahead of those guys. But I do think I want to take him. So even if I don't have him in my top 12, in my fictitious rankings, like, I want to take a backup quarterback, and I want it to be Cam Newton.
Right. I think when you look at quarterbacks, the one guy that I know I have in my top 12 that most people don't is Cutler. Because I buy into him a big season. Well, it's the majority looks at Cam versus Cutler. Like, forget about the positioning.
Where do people have Cam?
Cam is, in some cases, fourth.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, that's one glad I don't have to do rankings on.
Here's the argument. And one of our bosses, who will remain nameless, but I know he's listening, sent Dave and I an email saying, how can you have Cam outside your top 12? He's been top five every year of his career, or, you know, top five quarterback. Well, if you're drafting that, I mean, Tom Brady was top three every year basically since the Randy Moss era. And last year was 13. You can't necessarily go based on what he was and hope that he's going to be there again. The same thing why I made this case for Kaepernick a year ago. That there was too much, in my opinion, working against him, that he should have been drafted as a top 10 guy. And I make the same argument for Foles. I think there's a little bit too much working against him for him to be a top 12 guy.
I know I'm going back on the rankings that I just did on the spot. But the more I think about it, I just can't see ranking Cam Newton outside the top 12, or really outside the top 10. Because I just don't see what's so different about the team this year compared to last year.
The offensive line is worse. The receiving core is worse.
Is it?
Yes.
I don't agree. I don't necessarily agree.
I've said this, that, you know, you can look at Steve Smith declining and Brandon LaFell never materializing and Ted Ginn, for as great as he was a year ago, and take that trio and compare it to the potential of Kelvin Benjamin.
Right, that's the key word.
The aging.
If Kelvin Benjamin's good, then if he's good, then he's better than Steve Smith was last year.
I don't disagree with that.
So it could easily be a better receiver.
But I think it could. But then you have to factor in, is he going to take a little bit more of a pounding because the protection up front is not as good?
I think his rushing numbers are going to go up.
But that's the key, though. Will they say, here's why we were good down the stretch. Our defense was awesome. Our running game was good, and they're getting a healthy Jonathan Stewart back. Well, they are.
Yeah, for what? For week one?
but take it into consideration. And do we want to subject Cam Newton coming off ankle surgery to having to carry us running the ball?
And you I don't know that his rushing numbers will go up. I don't know that they need to go up now that I'm looking at them. 585 and six touchdowns. And that's the thing. Like, he threw, like, again, he threw for 3,400 yards, not even last year.
How many passing touchdowns did he
have? 24.
Right. Can he get to that number again?
Yeah, probably
if you,
not.
If you tell me he
probably can, not, which is why he's not going to be
if you tell
five.
Me he can get to 29 total touchdowns without having a significant amount of turnovers, then I'm okay with it.
Yeah, so you're worried about the touchdowns.
I just don't see the passing numbers being there when they have still all their money tied up in their running backs, still having offensive line changes. How much is he going to run the ball?
I don't really concern myself about the money tied into the running backs because, like, they have to win. He's their best player.
No. I'm not saying that that's the factor of what's going to determine how it goes. But they didn't spend anything on their receiving core.
Oh, okay.
You know, and again, numbers being what they were, that trio that they had a year ago, Smith, LaFell, and Ginn, 14 touchdowns. The two guys who are coming in, forget about Benjamin alone, Kotre and Avant, 12.
Yeah.
So if you say 14, will Kotre go from 10 to, let's say, let's be realistic, let's say 4, right? Does Avant get we'll bump him up 1, right? Because his role is expanding, presumably. There's 3. Can Kelvin Benjamin score 5 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Can he score 7?
He'd have to have a very good rookie year, but yeah.
Okay, so there's 14 to 14. So that could easily happen. Greg Olsen's still going to be the same player. We've said this. You know what he is. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be the same player. I don't disagree with Cam being top 12 worthy, which is why he's 13 for me. But I don't see top 5. And I would much rather. And the reason he's a bust in the first version of my bust column, and he'll be a bust in the second version of the bust column, because I think it's worth discussing again, is let somebody else draft him. Top 5, top 8, top 10 overall. If he's still there, take him.
Yeah.
But if you have to reach for him or draft him based on his average draft position, I think it's a mistake.
All right, let's read some emails here. Oh, I got an interaction. Is it doomed for life? No, it's not.
Fantasy baseball question.
That's a retweet of my Jamal Charles stat. From Michael. Last year, there was all sorts of buzz regarding, this is a Jordan Cameron, Kyle Rudolph. Okay, it's Kyle Rudolph question. Why isn't there as much love for Kyle Rudolph this year as there was for Jordan Cameron last year with Norv Turner coming over, which you've been all about?
Jordan Cameron is a better athlete than Kyle Rudolph, mm-hmm. but Kyle Rudolph, I think, will benefit because of Norv Turner. So I would rather have Kyle Rudolph than Jordan Cameron, but, you know, it's still somewhat risky.
Warren from Alabama, how dangerous is it for me to draft Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey as my number one and number two wide receivers?
Well, I think it's not a bad strategy at all. You know, you're just tying yourself into, you know, we saw last year, sometimes one has a great week, sometimes one struggles. But, you know, you go back to a couple years ago with Julio Jones and Roddy White. Those two guys were good at times together.
I don't love it, though. I don't think
I don't love it. I'd rather avoid it if I could.
Yeah,
but,
right, exactly.
I mean, you know, there may be a scenario, though, where you draft Marshall early round two, middle of round two.
Yeah.
And then Jeffrey just gets passed over and you're sitting there in round three.
In that case, would you take Jordy Nelson over Alshon?
I would take that anyway, but
you would?
The better question would probably be Antonio Brown or Randall Cobb.
I have to familiarize myself with Jamie's new rankings. I thought you had Jeffrey ahead of Nelson.
No, never.
Okay. I have to familiarize myself with Jamie's old rankings. I thought you had. So would you stray from your rankings in that case and take Antonio Brown?
If I was nervous about this, yes, probably so.
All right, Chris from...
And I did see somewhere, somebody tweeted, maybe you missed it. How could, or this was maybe an email, and you may be referencing this. I know I saw it somewhere, about how do we have Marshall and Jeffrey ranked as top 10 receivers and not Cutler ranked higher? And this is a fair question to not just these two guys. And there's probably somebody else you can look at and say, you know, two receivers ranked high. Why is the quarterback not ranked higher?
Well, what's the answer?
Well, I mean, I think my rank is reflected. This is probably a better question for Dave. You know, it's kind of indicative of we think he's going to have a big – these two guys are going to have big years, and it doesn't happen without Cutler unless you're buying into him getting hurt and Jordan Palmer stepping
in. I think that's Dave's concern. I don't think he –
I would say that's fair, yeah.
Projects Cutler for 16. But no, I mean, the weird thing about Cutler was, like, he never had a huge week. But he was always, like, very good.
20 to 25
points. But it wasn't like he didn't have that 30-point week, which you would, just off the top of your head, you probably would think that he had a few of those.
Right, McCown had those.
Did he, though?
Yeah. There was, you could look at it.
Yeah, I'll look now.
McCown had, I believe it was a Minnesota game where Jeffrey went nuts. Yeah, McCown had the bigger weeks of the two.
Right. No reason why. Well, yeah, McCown had the 46-point game. Right. Other than that.
Is that the Minnesota game?
Yeah, Dallas. Minnesota game, 355 and 2, 26 points.
Right.
Probably better game than the fantasy stats would indicate. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We got Chris from Chesterton, Indiana. Hey, Verbal, Keaton, and McManus.
Usual suspects.
Yeah, yeah. 12-team standard non-PPR redraft league. Most of the scoring is standard, except quarterback passing touchdowns are worth 6 points. And there are three-point bonuses for passing over 300 yards and rushing or receiving over 100 yards. Do you think the top three quarterbacks are all worth the first-round pick in this format? If so, where would you take each of them?
Well, when you factor in the bonuses, then yeah, their value gets a little bit higher. So I think Manning should still be in the first round. Manning should be in the first round. And I'd probably take the other two in the second round because he does say that there's bonuses for players going over 100 yards rushing and receiving also.
You know what? How many quarterbacks threw for over 4,800 yards last year? I guess those guys are kind of safe bets. Close to safe bets to do that, those top three. Because that's 300 a game.
Right, but Ryan could conceivably get – like I would change my rankings around if I was ranking for this. Like
yeah,
Ryan
yeah,
would be
yeah.
better than Kaepernick for
right,
sure.
Right.
Romo and Brady easily over RG3.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next up is Chris from Guatemala, who also says Linehan. And he says, "Dear Dazed and Confused, The Wire, and every Wes Anderson movie. Three things I hate."
Oh.
Very good.
Gotcha.
"Draft strategy question. I often hear experts advising against getting caught up in draft runs, but doesn't it make sense to grab a piece of the shrinking commodity? For example, if there's a wide receiver run, wouldn't it make sense to take one? When your next pick comes around, wide receivers will be picked over. Plus, more players at other positions will still be on the board. I'm thinking about keeping a tally of players picked by position during my draft and leaning towards picking the most scarce position." And he also says, "Awesome call on the Stan Bush song from the old Transformers movie. In the future, refer to it as the song Mark Wahlberg sings in Boogie Nights if you want people to know what the hell you're talking about." I don't remember him singing that, but it is ironic that he's now in the new Transformers movie, which I heard is right up there with all the Jesse Eisenberg movies.
Huh?
It's a Transformers movie. It's
right up there with all the Jesse Eisenberg
yeah.
movies?
Yeah, it's right up there with Social Network. All the, yeah. All right, anyway.
Oh, boy.
What do you think about chipping in on those runs?
I think it all depends on when it happens and what positions you're talking about. Because if, you know, there's going to be a run in round two on wide receivers. You know, so if you pick, let's say you're the guy picking second overall and you take LeSean McCoy and you're saying, I'm getting the last wide receiver of the top six
yeah.
because that's where the drop-off starts if people don't buy into Jordy Nelson. So if it's, okay, you're hoping for one of those, I guess this is not really the best way to do it. I think you need to sort of kind of go back to what we were saying about the tiers. You got to sort of say, this is the player that I want, and this is the last guy I'm going to settle for. So if it's the quarterback run happens, you know, the first three go in the first three rounds, and then it's that group that we're talking, Stafford, Luck, Kaepernick,
RG3,
Foles for Dave, Brady, Romo, that group. You know, you have to say to yourself, okay, am I comfortable jumping in now because I have to, or is it better off for me to let somebody else take all these quarterbacks, and I can let, I'll pass on those guys, I'll take Cutler next round, let them all go, and I can get the tight end that I want here or the receiver that I want here. It all depends on how your draft is going. You know, so I don't think you want to, you know, we'll go back to what he said. I don't think you want to buy into the runs unless you feel you need that. You know, if you need that position, if you're saying to yourself, the last guy in my tier is Matt Ryan, okay, and it goes Luck, Kaepernick, Brady, and then Ryan comes to you and you he's the last guy, then you take him, even though that's the end of the run. Same thing with the tight end position.
Yeah, runs, I think tiers are a better way to put it than runs.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah,
probably
yeah,
didn't explain
exactly.
it the right way.
Yeah, no, it made sense to me. And finally, Phil from the city that reads. What is that?
Reading, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Maybe. Dear Huey Lewis and the News. I like that. I need some early draft insight for my 12-team PPR league. Well, Huey Lewis is one person, so I guess.
But he's breaking it up into three.
I'd like to be Huey.
I'll be the news.
All right. Dave's got a new nickname, but he comes back. I need some early draft insight for my 12-team PPR league. My keepers are Shane Vereen and Joique Bell. I do not have a second-round pick. Without knowing what pick I have, what should my early draft strategy be? I feel like I'm only grabbing a running back in the first round if I have one of the first three picks.
We have two very good number two running backs. You don't really have a number one. So I think you got to see who's there before saying I'm only going to take a running back if this. Because what if you have the fourth pick and it goes Charles, McCoy, Calvin? Are you going to pass on Matt Forte?
Yeah.
Or Jimmy Graham goes?
Take best player available.
Well, I can understand what I don't know what his point is that he wants to take the best available wide receiver. So, you know, if you say you'll be okay with, let's just say they're not keepers, but let's say you're okay with, or better yet, you go Vereen, Bell, and Sankey as your top three guys in a PPR league. That's pretty good. You don't love it?
Well, it depends what wide receivers are there.
Yeah, so you don't have a second-round pick, but let's say you get Demaryius Thomas. So now you have Thomas, those three guys, and you come back in round four. Or excuse me, round three.
How the hell are you going to get Demaryius Thomas with your third round pick and a?
No. Your first pick.
So you have Demaryius Thomas, but those two guys, Vereen and Bell, no Sankey.
No, you're not understanding what I'm saying. So he doesn't have a second round pick.
Right.
So you go Demaryius Thomas round one.
Uh-huh.
No, round two. Sankey round three.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you meant Sankey round one.
No. I apologize. So you take Demaryius Thomas round one.
Yeah.
Those Sankey round three.
Uh-huh.
Round four. Now you're taking Percy Harvin.
Uh-huh.
Do you like that team?
Yeah. I don't love it, but yeah, it's okay. Do you like it?
Can you think of a better scenario without taking a top flight running back?
You know what? If I don't have a second round pick, then no, I can't. You can't get much better.
Okay, let's go. Who's a receiver you like better than Percy in that 15 range?
Garcon?
If he's there, round four, PPR league, I'd
it's possible.
Take that all day long.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen, right?
I doubt it, but let's – Fitzgerald. Crabtree.
Yeah. Okay, yes, Crabtree.
Okay, there you go. So you have those three running backs and Crabtree.
Yeah.
Or
– And Demaryius.
Better scenario. You go Demaryius round one, Sankey round three, Gronk round four.
Sure. Then
– He's not going to be there round four. That's not a good –
All right, well, don't reach for a running back in round one.
Crabtree's a better one.
That's what he was talking about. Unless it's like one of the elite running backs.
In round three?
Fine.
You like him better than Sankey?
No.
You like Sankey?
You know I don't like it better than Sankey. I'm all about the Bishop. I'm all about him. All right, Bishops were arguably my favorite chess piece.
Yeah, sure.
They're fun.
You forgot to mention something else, too.
Oh, crap! The Fantasy Party! CBSSports.com/Fantasy Party. August 23rd?
Yes.
Foxborough, Massachusetts?
Yes.
It's going to be awesome?
Yes.
Raffles?
Yes.
Live draft stuff?
Yes.
Giveaways?
Yes.
Me, Dave, Jamie? Going to be fun.
The fact that you will be there.
We're going to party in Boston.
Yes. How many people from New York are you telling to come?
It's kind of far. I'm not telling anyone
to come.
Not
that far.
We're going to take a duck tour, Jamie, in Boston.
I have to hang out with you?
You wish, bro.
Do you know, I'm going to do something that I hate doing, but I think it's worth mentioning, that we very rarely toot our own horn. I'll pump Dave up. Dave will pump me up.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say something here that I think is worth mentioning. Dave, who usually sits right here, the reigning fantasy football writer of the year by people who judge these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't do anything outside of my job. But there's a website that ranks fantasy analysts, if you can believe that, fantasy pros. I have the most successful draft rankings from the last 4 years combined, collectively. Don't look at the 2013 numbers because they weren't so great. But collectively, over the last 4 years, I sit on top of that list of a very esteemed group of other analysts.
And Jamie's also number one best hair in the fantasy analyst industry. Which
sure
makes some people around here very jealous.
Okay.
So great hair, this guy.
So for people that are looking, you know, I know most of our audience obviously follows us, and I don't think I'm telling them anything new, but you do have the opportunity to follow two people just based on recognition that hopefully will help you win your league. So that's the last I'll ever say.
You want to talk for like 15 more seconds? We get to an hour? Oh, okay. We'll cut it short then.
Yes.
Well, thank you
and
all.
Adam is the best at everything he does, except movie rankings, reviews.
Don't see the movie Her. It sucks. And we're out.
Bye.